Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cody Thompson. How are you today, Cody?
I'm glad you asked, Pat, because I have in front of me a list of alternative answers to that question, alternatives to the word great, nice. Which I say. So I'm going with swell today.
There's swell.
And I'm going to commit to not using the word great again in an opening for at least 100 episodes here. I'm going to cross
Sounds
these
great. Out. So today you're swell. Swell. All right. We've also got Amy Hyatt, the co-founder of The Table Group. How are you doing today, Amy?
I'm doing great. And I, every time I'm on the podcast, I say, thanks for having me. So I'm not going to say that today.
Okay, perfect. Good. And we've got Matt, our engineer. You're going to have to edit that part out because she actually did say it again. But Matt's here, but he's not on mic.
Did you do that for
me? No editing. Actually, we're starting this podcast. I'm just going to let everybody know we started this podcast. It wasn't quite right. We just stopped and we're going to re-record it because what we're talking about today is really important. What's the topic, Cody?
The topic is the power of daily disruption.
That's right. And in our last episode, we talked about the importance of individuals having a morning routine, something that allows us to wake up and go into the day with intentionality and a sense of peace. That's critical. Today, we're going to talk about something that it seems like the opposite. When it comes to teams, the first thing that people have to do when they start the day is to disrupt one another. That's right. We have to disrupt each other. Disruption for a team, especially at the beginning of the day, is often the key to organizational health and success. And that's because there's a natural human tendency for people to seek comfort and to settle in around things. And if we don't do at work the same thing we do with our bottle of orange juice in the morning, and that's to shake it up, then we're not going to be able to maximize our productivity.
Mm-hmm. And I love this coming off the heels of our last episode, because the discipline is actually the discipline of having the meeting, right? Having the daily stand-up meeting. We're going to talk about that.
Right. That's the setting for doing this disruption.
But what happens in the meeting is that shake-up.
That's right.
And we had an experience this morning that sort of spurred this whole conversation, where we were observing the way we were having our own meeting, and then you jumped in and Amy was like, hey, let's go in that room.
Well, let's go back and remind people that there's different kinds of meetings that teams need to have, but the first one is the daily check-in, which is just a 5 or 10 minute stand-up meeting where essentially you just go around the room and you say, hey, what's everybody doing today? Mm-hmm. The daily check-in. But if it's not done well, and today we experience this, it can actually solidify an inertia that's not good. But if it's done really well, it can shake us up and get us focused on the right things.
Well, and what's interesting is you use the phrase, what's everybody doing today? But we actually have changed the phrase, which actually helps us disrupt a little better, which is we now go around and say, what do you think you're working on today?
Right. Because the likelihood that anybody is going to have the completely right answer is low. Something that they're planning to do is probably not the most important thing anymore. And unless they put that out there and let other people speak into them or push back on them, we're not going to be doing the right things.
It's actually really core to organizational health, this whole concept of building a healthy culture. You have to be willing to disrupt what you're doing. And the daily stand-up, it was so easy for us to even get in a rut. And we do this every day. So it was up to you guys to say, hey, let's look at our thematical, let's remember what we're trying to do, and let's make sure everyone is pointing in the right direction.
So what happened today is we went around and did that, and I was observing, thinking, I don't think everybody seems busy. Now, two people here are drowning in work. Two people here seem like they don't really have that much to do. Nobody challenged each other. And so I went up at the end and I said, I think we're a little confused about the purpose of this meeting.
Right. And it's in the context of, we have some really important things going on.
Yes.
And so when we have that meeting, and I'm going to take ownership of the fact that I run our daily stand-up meetings today. I was pretty grumpy and I was just trying to get through it, and I wasn't
Cody
doing
was
a great
cranky
job.
This morning, everybody.
Yeah. I was a little cranky.
You can't believe it.
Cody didn't sleep well last night.
What do you think you're working on today? But what was happening is when we have these big goals that we're trying to accomplish, you don't want to come to that meeting and just fill up a list of things that you say you're going to work on that day. And what you were observing was, wait a second, what he said, it wasn't just about busyness, but although that was part of it, but right. It was like, what is that as it relates to the most important things we're trying to accomplish?
Exactly. And the idea is that when you hear what people are doing and who's overwhelmed and who's not, people can say, well, two of these things that I'm working on aren't really that important. Why don't I do something that can help you? Mm-hmm. But when you go through one of those and everybody says, oh, I'm doing this today, it all we're doing is kind of reporting out what is probably not necessarily the right thing. Now, there's something that we have to get into right here, and that is that this assumes that your organization or your team wants to be what we would call missional. Mm-hmm. Missional, M-I-S-S-I-O-N-A-L, as opposed to just in maintenance mode. And this is critical. Organizations that are in maintenance mode just go around and go, what are you doing today? What are you doing today? What are you doing today? Just do whatever you want.
Well, and the tendency is those organizations, you should say as many things as possible so that your coworkers and colleagues go, oh, you're really busy. Okay, great.
You're justifying your job.
Right.
Whereas if you're missional, you're saying, somebody please tell me what I could do differently or do more of or do with a different lens so I can advance the mission mm-hmm. and that we can accomplish in the world what we want to accomplish.
Well, and it takes time and discomfort to do that. It's easy to say, oh, Tracy, I know you're super busy. Let me know how I can help. But that's not really what we're talking about here. We're talking about really breaking down and looking at the objectives and coming up with some specifics on how we can do things differently today.
Right. Because what happened was at the end of this meeting this morning, I stood up and I said, okay, I got to say something. You, Liam, what you said you're going to do today didn't sound like it was that much and it didn't have anything to do with it.
You use the word tomorrow a lot.
Yeah, I said, yeah, you kept saying tomorrow, tomorrow. And he goes, yeah, the truth is I don't know what I'm going to do today. And I thought, well, I'm brilliant. I noticed that. And I said, how many people noticed that? And everybody's hand went up. And I said, so why didn't we say, Liam, let's get you more to do and let's really question what you're working on.
Well, and I committed the worst sin I could commit here at the table group is I thought to myself, I'll talk to him about that later.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because we think that could embarrass him. And this is very common. People say, well, why don't people disrupt one another in this daily stand-up? Oftentimes because they're afraid it's going to look like they're questioning their work ethic.
Right.
Yeah. Or their attitude or their... Do they have enough to do to justify their job or something?
Exactly. Like that. Yeah. So, I don't want to do that. And it's quite the opposite. You know, what we're saying is you don't have the benefit of knowing what we know. And now that we've done this, let's actually challenge you. Nobody in our office wants to avoid being challenged to do different things or to do more if they can.
Yeah. And it goes back to the point you made that I don't want to brush over is like, this is not a meeting for reporting out.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because reporting out is sort of like a one-way street. Let me tell you what I'm working on today, the check marks I'm going to make next to what things I think I'm going to get off my list. And that's also why that nuanced question is so important, because it says, what do you think you're working on today? It automatically like uncouples your work from what you think you're, you come to the meeting with open hands and say, I think this is what I'm doing, but if there's something better for me to do, I want to do that.
Exactly. Somebody please give me permission to do this because it's the right thing, or to give me something else because I just want to do what the team needs me to do.
Right. I'm flexible. I'm willing to adjust. I'll still get what I need to do done that's on my list, but I might have room for more.
What's crazy about this is it's not the person who's saying what they plan to be doing that doesn't want that feedback. It's actually harder for other people to provide the feedback.
Mm-hmm. Right. What if I'm wrong? Or what if I know their intentions are good, or I'll talk to them later in my case.
And what we have to say is, I'm not judging you. I don't want you to feel guilty. I'm just wondering if there's not a better use of your time today, given what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we're a pretty close team and a pretty high performing team, I think. But we can also get in a rut of like just trying to prove our worth
individually
with each other.
This morning, and because I was grumpy, I didn't do it exactly the right way. But one of the people was like, oh, I'm going to continue learning. I've got a few more out. And I was like, you're done learning that thing. You know?
Right.
The point was, I was trying to say, hey, in the context of what we're trying to get done, is this as important? And what was great that came out of that
Well, let's make this clear what you did. So you said that somebody said, I'm doing this training module, and they locked themselves in an office and they're doing this training module. And based on your input, your knowledge of it, you were like, that's taken too long and we need more help from you. So you challenged them, you disrupted them. Mm-hmm. And this person said, actually, here's what I'm doing. Here's why I'm doing it. I think this is really important. And if I can just finish this, I think it's going to pay off. That provoked the conversation.
And he made the connection to the missional side of what we were trying to accomplish.
Yeah, he disrupted back.
Mm-hmm. Which is awesome. See, the point of that meeting is to clarify who's working on what and are these the right things?
Yep.
And as a result of that, we doubled down on what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, Liam said, hey, you guys use me for whatever you need me to do. If we had not disrupted, that wouldn't have happened.
Well, and there's a difference between just reporting out and trying to look busy to actually being open to being flexible and changing your mind. In that case, Connor was working on something, someone questioned it, he was able to then go back to our mission and explain it. And I brought him in after. I'm like, I want to learn how to do that better from you. Because right. I don't do that. If someone questions me on something, I'll be like, oh, okay, you're probably right.
Well, and the other thing is because it sounds like you're bragging.
Right, right.
But, and so it's important to justify what you're doing, but not because you're being defensive, exactly. But you're saying, let me tell you why this is going to help us. Now everybody's bought in. We're actually more interested in what he's working on. And he has a better sense of why it's valuable.
It's a nuance that I noticed this right. morning.
And your biggest fear in life is that you'll ever brag.
That's right.
In fact, I should tell this story. It's great. Years and years ago.
Oh, no. I think you've told this before, but that's okay.
Haven't really? Years and years ago, we went and we did some training. I mean, this is literally probably 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we took Amy and a couple other people to the hotel. And yeah. we said, Amy, you sell a lot of our stuff.
It smelled like a swimming pool in that room. Like, oh, yeah. I still remember
I can picture the room. Yeah, there were no windows.
Too. Me too.
There were no windows. And I said, okay, Amy, stand up in front of us. And I said, Amy, I want you to brag because I'm going to teach you to stretch. So just brag about anything. And she was like, she started crying. I was like, no, it's just pretend. I can't do it.
I might start crying right now. No, I'm just kidding.
We should move on, right, Amy?
I'm not going to cry.
So anyway, the fear of bragging. That's our next podcast episode, The Fear of Bragging with Amy Hyatt. So anyway, that's the point of what we do. Now, here's the thing. There are maintenance things we have to do, even yep. in a missional organization. Somebody's got to keep the lights on and keep things more. And all of our jobs involve that. But you don't want to start when somebody says, what are you working on today? Or what do you think you're working on? If you start by, well, I'm doing the normal this and this and this, yep. then it's even harder to disrupt them.
Well, and you talked earlier about the concept of inertia. And that makes so much sense as it relates to this, because inertia is that concept of like an object in motion will remain at motion, or an object at rest will have a tendency to remain at rest.
Your physics teacher in high school would be so proud of you for getting that right.
I said have a tendency to remain at rest. They would, but yeah, that would be great. Mr. Strawn, there you go. If you're listening,
way to go, Mr. Strawn.
I learned that. But I think as it relates to what happens in this meeting is this meeting could actually be detrimental to some organizations if they have the wrong inertia around it. Because if it becomes a reporting out,
they're just going to calcify it.
It's all just siloed reporting out. I'm going to then go back to my desk. Now everyone knows that I'm busy enough that they shouldn't bother me, and no disruption happens. And you know, we worked at a company recently. We might have said this, but they talk a lot about we got to go in and break stuff. You know,
yes.
And that's another word for disruptive. You know, they want to go in and shake things up and go, are we all working on the most important things? And should we reallocate resources? And what we did this morning was not even in people's swim lanes.
Right.
We took Liam because he said he had capacity and put him on a project that is more urgent and important just because we had that meeting and we're open to disrupting and reallocating our resources.
You know, and it is amazing to think that in 24 hours, we can start to settle in. And so it's every day we just need to shake things up a little bit. On most days, people probably tweak what they're working on 15 or 20%.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a very simple way to do that is just to ask yourself right before is how can I disrupt this meeting today?
Yeah. How can I question,
right.
Whether or not we're working on.
Yeah. I guess you could disrupt it in all kinds of ways that aren't productive.
Another way to do it is say, how could everybody change what, let's talk about what everybody thinks they're working on. Now, how could we all tweak 15% of what we're going to do today so that we advance the ball that much faster?
Well, and this is where I do think it's important to go back to the beginning that says that this is in the context of organizational health. What we were talking about is we have a thematic goal. We have our defining objectives. So when we say, what are you working on that advances the mission? If your company doesn't
have a mission.
Yeah. If your company doesn't have the mission or a thematic goal, you can't just go, hey, what are you working on? No, not that. Okay. What about you? You know, it has to be towards what is it that we're trying to accomplish, this near-term goal. And so we actually pull out our defining objectives and say, what is it that you're doing that you think you're doing that is related to one of these things that we're trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
And you know, can you talk about attitude versus judgment?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's great. Amy, I appreciate it. I almost forgot about this. So I was recently kind of coaching a guy, a CEO of an organization that I'm involved with. And we were on a Zoom call and I was really pushing him and I was questioning a lot. And he was starting to get defensive. I said, hey, I'm not questioning your attitude mm-hmm. at all. I'm just questioning your judgment. I think that's a bad decision. Don't feel bad because attitude sounds like I don't care enough or I don't have a strong enough work ethic. And I realize there's something kind of funny about that because I'm questioning your judgment. It sounds pretty, but I just was saying, that's my job is to say, I don't know if that's the right decision. And once you say, okay, so you know I care and you know I'm willing to work hard, then it's easy to have your judgment question. But if you think it's a wholesale accusation about your persona, mm-hmm. everybody's going to dig in their heels.
You're helping him with clarity.
Exactly. By the way, I went, that organization that I was just talking about, it gets to this missional versus maintenance thing. This might be, sometimes we do a podcast around one thing, but there's a hidden gem, I think. And in this case, I think this is really important. So I do a lot of work with churches. And there's this whole new thing. In fact, this wonderful priest in Canada that I know wrote a book about going from maintenance to mission. And maintenance is like, well, we have a church, we have to keep the lights on, you know, we have to do this, we have to do that.
Do all these programs every week, never question them, just keep going.
Exactly. But, and he said, no, you should be on mission. What are we trying to accomplish? We're trying to reach people. And then you can go to a church and you can tell if it's a maintenance church that's doing the bare minimum just to get by, to survive, or if it's missional and it's trying to accomplish things and do great things. And I think every organization of any size, every department, every school, every church, every company needs to say, are we missional or are we in maintenance mode? And maintenance mode is a death knell for any kind of business.
And I think the flip side of that is every company, every business, every organization can be in missional mode. It's not just because you have a mission. Like, you can get behind and get the company and organization rallied behind a mission. Like, what are we trying to accomplish? It's not like, oh, well, if you work in finance, well, you're just in maintenance mode. So you're fine. You know, like, you're fine to do that. Everybody can have that, like, short term. Here's what we're collectively trying to accomplish.
Right.
Absolutely. It goes back to your saying, if you don't know why you're in a meeting, don't have the meeting.
Right.
If you're not trying to move something forward.
Exactly. And people get really bummed out when they go to work and they don't feel like anything's being moved forward.
Hey, let's get to our commercials.
That's right. We talked about last week that we were going to start doing our commercials again. And so last week we talked about Dr. Pepper, one of our favorite soft drinks. This time we're going to talk about something that we do here at the Table Group, and that is the Working Genius Assessment, which you probably already know about. But we were thinking that that's a great idea for a graduation gift. If you know somebody who's graduating from college or even high school, this could be a really nice gift for $25 to give them insights into what they're really good at and maybe not good at, so they can go about finding the right job for them or maybe even picking a better major when they go to school. So I know whenever I have a nephew or a friend or a neighbor who's graduating, I always think, what am I going to give them? And I think the Working Genius Assessment would be great. I also think that people should check out the Working Genius podcast. Most of you probably know about that. We got a lot of people listening to that. Of course, that's where we put all of our content around the Working Genius. We have a lot of fun doing it. So check that out. All right. Thanks for joining us this time. We'll talk to you next week on At the Table. God bless.